If they haven't left yet, and as they're going down, I'll make a couple real quick announcements that I did not do. One small group this afternoon, 4 o'clock at our home, and it's 540 North Greenfield, and you're welcome to come to the small group. And I think probably the neat thing, too, is you look in your bulletin as well. All of the money came in to build our third church, and so we praise God for that. I talked with Ron Wilson this past week, and they're just thrilled. We're going to be in Pradesh, is the territory where that we'll be in, and that's where the third church is going to go. So it's going to be a six-hour train ride from Coimbatore to Pradesh to dedicate that church. So that ought to be interesting, to say the least. That ought to be whatever. Since the church is built. You know, there are scooters for the pastors in India. There are the girls' orphanage in India. There's the feeding of the street kids in India if you want to keep giving towards India. But remember Gaitans, they're down in Nicaragua. They're actually here right now because of the persecution. So Gaitans, the Juntanans are going to Romania. So there's many places that if God lays it on your heart, that you're able to give some money for missions, you're welcome to do that. All right, well, I'm going to have you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, we began a series last week, and you got me turned on there for recording there, Eric? You got it? All right. I might get part of the announcements in that recording. Who knows? We began a series last week, Seeing What God Sees, and I took the time last week to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10, and I kind of expounded from there, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. It says, because we're going to kind of start there, but it says, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is done in part will be done away with. And so the whole idea was, as I went through all the gifts of the Holy Spirit in chapter 12, we looked at all what Paul is writing here in chapter 13, and that Paul does say, if they're speaking in tongues, he said, if there's no love, that's going to come to an end. He says, I could prophesy and have understanding of mysteries, but if I don't have love, it accomplishes nothing. I can have faith to move mountains and accomplishes nothing, and you give everything I have to the poor and have my body be burned, and I don't have love. I mean, it comes to nothing. And then 4 through 7, part of 8 there, he talks about what love is, and then he talks about, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But that which is perfect has come, then all that which is in part will be done away with. And I want to show you this. Eric, you want to black that out for me again like you did last time? So before we go on here, and I want to remind you guys, and Eric will drop the words here for me in a second. Thank you, sir. Now, the reason that I have this out, I use what they call a Greek lexicon, and I use a Hebrew lexicon. And the reason I do that is because what a lexicon does, it will give you the Greek meaning for that word in that verse. Okay, so look at this. The perfect state here, see 1 Corinthians 13:10, that's where we're at. So what does it mean? What's the Greek meaning for that word? The perfect state of all things to be ushered and noticed by the return of Christ from heaven. That's what it means. And so if you look at that and you realize what he's writing and what he's saying, he says, if Christ comes back, we don't need to speak in tongues. If Christ comes back, he says, there's no reason. We don't need any more knowledge. I mean, we'll be with him. There'll be no reason for prophesying. And so your translation might have like a little footnote that might say full-grown, adult, mature, and that's always the generic one they kind of use for that in your Bible if you got one of those Bibles, or complete, I think, might be another one in there. Well, that's not what it means. What it means in the Greek is that Christ, when he comes back, all of that stuff then is done away with. But he's not here right now, and so when he returns, we won't need it anymore. So I wanted to make sure that you understood that. So with that said, let's take a look at the worst of this. So, and I love this, in verse 9 it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, which is true. We don't have a clear understanding of everything. And then verse 10, I've already explained that to you. So in verse 9 or verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on verse 11, but the basic sign is this. If you're a Christian, there's an expectation that you and I need to be growing up. We need to go into the deeper things of God. We got to understand the deeper things of God. And Paul's going to tell us in a minute, and by the way, you don't know it all. This is for Burles too, okay, just by the way. You know, he says, you know, we don't know it all. You know, I says, I'm always discovering. You know, I'll do a Greek word, and I didn't have any clue to what it meant. And all of a sudden, there's this deeper understanding that's unfolding to me, and I'm like, wow, I never seen that before. So I still enjoy learning. So when you look at this and you see this, he says, you know what? There's this process of growth. There's this process of maturing that takes place in us as born-again Christians. And not everybody is at the same level as other people. And those of you that are spiritually mature and you've walked with the Lord for a while, I know sometimes it's hard to be patient when those that haven't been, but we're supposed to be patient with them. They're learning like you were learning. You know, they're full of questions like you were full of questions. They've got things they want to know like you, things that you wanted to know. You know, when you first get saved, we're like 2 and 3 year olds. You ever sit? You got to come here sometime and sit in a 2 or 3 year old class. I have never heard the word why you so much in my life. And when you got 10 2 year or 3 year olds in the classroom, all of them going, why? Why? Yeah, that can wear on you. It'll get you. But you know what? When I became a Christian, I did the same thing with God. And I've been saved for almost 40 years. I still ask God, why? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Why is this taking place? Why didn't you do this? And why did you do that? And so when you look at this and we start looking into this, I'm going to show you exactly what he's talking about here. And then the other part of this that I shared with you last week, and as a reminder, and this isn't judging anybody, but the Bible is clear. He says, if you're born again, this is how you live your life. And at the end of your life, you're going to go home to be with the Lord, and you're going to go to heaven. If you reject Christ, you don't go to heaven. There's a hell. That isn't judging. That's just saying this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible teaches. If I do this, I go to heaven. If I don't do this, there's a hell. And so it's important that you understand that there's no judgment for coming from me or from anybody else as we look at these passages of Scripture. But the idea behind all of this is this. He says, how do we, you know, have peace? How can we be happy in heaven if somebody didn't make it to heaven? And so this will help give the insight to that as well. So in the little bit of time that I've got, let me mark this down and give it to you guys. Verse 12, we're going to take this apart and I'm going to give you the Greek meaning for all the words. For now we see in a mirror dimly. The term see here is a spiritual thing. It means discern mentally, to observe and or to perceive. It means to discover or to understand. He says, the things that you and I are trying to understand about God are not always clear. They don't always make sense. We don't always understand it. He said, we see in this mirror dimly. So it means to discern mentally, observe, perceive, discover, understand. He said, it's like looking in a mirror without a clear picture. The word mirror here is this. What they used to do in the Roman world, they did not have glass mirrors like you and I have. Their mirrors simply were metal. And what they would do is they would buff the metal to the point of having some kind of reflection in it. And so when they would go and they would look at the reflection in the mirror would distort it. It would diffuse it. It's like going into one of them fun houses and you stand in front of those mirrors and you're going left and right and you're tall, then you're short, and then you're this, and then you're, you know, that's what it's like. You know, there's no clear picture. It's always distorted. And Paul is saying the reflection is distorted in the metal. And I'm going to pause here for just a second. And I don't know all the stuff people are going through right now, but let me pause here for a moment. Because the whole idea is trying to understand what God is doing, and we'll never completely understand it. But I had two thoughts as I was going back over this again this morning. The first one is this: if Satan can help distort the events in your life, he will do it. If Satan can help distort the events in your life, he will do it. In other words, you're going through something difficult, and there's going to be this little voice going, well, you see, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through that. If God really cared for you, this wouldn't be happening. If God really, you know, I mean, Satan lies to us. And there's got to be a maturity in you that says, okay, I know where that voice came from, and that is not of God. Or you can go, yeah, you know, wow, you know what, that's right. I mean, you know, God's all powerful. He's almighty. If he wanted to fix this, he could, and he hasn't. That's a lie from the devil. That is not how God operates. But he will try to do that to you and try to have you distort your view of what you see of the Lord. The second thing that I thought of too is that you got to remember that we see our lives only through our own perspectives. When I'm going through something, I see it the way Burles would see it. And is it always right? No. It's distorted. I want it my way. I want it when I want it, how I want it, the way I want it. I am flesh like you are flesh, and there can be a distortion in the view of the circumstances that we are in. And you don't want the enemy to do that to you. You don't want to have this distorted view or perspective of yourself, but that's how we view ourselves, in a distorted way. So he goes on here and he says this. He says, so then what do? We see dimly. The word dimly here means to obscure something, to obscure it. And really, the thought is that there's an obscuring of the discerning of divine things, because that's what he's talking about. He says, here's all these divine things, and what happens is that it gets skewed. It gets twisted. We see it wrong. We hear it wrong. We think it wrong. We get mad at God. We blame God. We do this and we do that, and that's what Satan will try to do. He'll twist it. And Paul is clearly saying, look, right now, the best you're getting is a dim picture of the program. And I made a little note here as I was doing this, and I jotted this down when I was going over this morning. There's a couple things I want you to remember, and then we'll get back on track. First thing I want you to remember this: God sees everything from an eternal perspective. You and I see things from right now, this moment, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe next year, and that is our perspective. God doesn't operate in a human perspective. He operates in an eternal perspective. And the things that might be happening in your life, believe it or not, may have eternal purpose, which is number two. He has an eternal perspective and he has an eternal purpose. God can take and use you where you are or wherever you go, and you might be able to touch and change someone's life, and they have now made a course change for their eternity. There is an eternal perspective. God might put you here because you're going to meet this person here, and that'll change their life because God used you, and now he's been used to take someone's eternity and completely take it a different direction. You don't know that. Is very possible. So God has an eternal perspective. So God has a view of our lives that we do not have. I don't look at Burles like God looks at Burles. I look at Burles through human selfishness. That's how I look at Burles. God looks at Burles as a tool, as a vessel, as a piece of clay that says, okay, you told me I could do anything with you that I wanted to. Good. Here we go. And whatever it is, it has to be okay with you. It has to be okay with me. See that? So you got to make sure that we get a different perspective on this relationship that we have and got with God. And God has eternal things for you, not just temporary things for you. So then, he goes on here, the next part of verse 12. But then, face to face. Now let me break this down for you. The term then in the Greek, now it doesn't happen all the time, but once in a while there'll be some key points when you if you get a lexicon, you'll see it, all right? The word then here means from that time on, or the things in the future, or the things being discussed, which are the things that we just talked about, you know, about love and about all things passing away and about Christ coming. He said, so then, when Jesus Christ returns, we will see things. There will be there. We will be face to face. Now, the face here in Greek is different meaning than the word next to it. That's what I like about when you look at the Greek. This face has a different meaning than the next one. So let me share this with you. What does it mean to be face to face with Him? It means seeing God face to face. And it means when we're with Him. When we are with Him, when He does return, when we are with Christ, we are going to see the things the way that He sees them. To see God face to face means discerning perfectly. For those that are taking notes, it means discerning perfectly, and there's three things here. First, it means discerning perfectly His will. I mean, I'm like you. Things happen and I don't understand it. And I'm trying to figure out what God's will is in the midst of all this, because sometimes it's not fun. And I'm trying to comprehend it, and I'm trying to get a grip on it. I'm trying to understand all of these things. He says, when you are with Him, you are going to see things the way that He sees them, and you are going to discern perfectly, number one, His will. There will be a place in your life that you're going to go, aha, that is why God did it like that. And you may not know it till you get there. The second meaning is this. It means discerning perfectly His nature. His nature. You know, God is our Father, and as a Father, He will correct, He will rebuke, He will chastise, and it's painful. Hebrews says that but if He loves you, He will correct you, right? But there's also a God of love and a God of mercy. I mean, think about it. Think about what you brought to the cross and asked Him to forgive you of. And He said, okay, I forgive you. And I'm telling you, some of us brought some junk. You know, some of us brought some stuff that we're like, man, I don't know. Maybe God can't forgive me from this. I don't, you know, but He did. So He's a God of love. He's merciful and He's gracious and He's patient. I mean, think of all the times that you've stumbled along the way. I mean, I've done things that honestly, I was waiting for a lightning bolt to come down. You know, for God to go, well, that's enough of that. And you're done. But He didn't. He didn't. I asked Him to forgive me. He forgives me. And I say, okay, I need strength to get over this battle. Or I need to get strength to get over this bondage I'm in, or whatever it may be. And He comes in, and with His mercy and grace, He begins to set us free. But we get to see things then the way that He sees it. We see His nature. And the third thing that you'll see here with face-to-face, it means His purpose. One of the hardest things for you and I to understand and to discern is God's purpose for our life. He knows it. He knows what He's doing with us. The thing is you don't know what He's doing with you. You know the old saying, you're on a need-to-know basis, and that's how God operates. When you need to know, He'll let you know. And if you don't need to know, you're not going to know until He says you can know. But that's how it works. We walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. And there are things that you can look back, and maybe even now, because it says dimly, maybe even now, there's some spots in your life where you can look back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, or 10 years, or 5 years, and you might just have a moment where you're going to look at it and go, you know, if this wouldn't have gone this way, then this would have never happened, and I would have missed all of this. Oh, maybe God did have a better picture. Maybe God did know what He was doing. Goes on. He says, face to face. The word face here, as I told you, is different than the other one. This is so cool. And okay, so this is when, the second one is when you'll see things the way that he sees them. Listen to this. It means this. It means to turn your face towards God in his immediate presence and seeing everything the way he sees it. Did you catch that? You will see it the way that he sees it when you see his face and you're in his presence. Ooh, that was a good shout. I mean, wow. We'll be with him, and there'll be an imparting of discernment. There'll be an imparting of understanding. There'll be an imparting of knowledge that you and I as human beings do not have, do not understand, and cannot grasp. But Paul says, when we look at him, and we see him, and we're face to face looking upon him, he says, you know what? The light will come on. Everything you did not know, you will know. What you did not understand, you will now understand. You will be in his presence, and you're going to see the things the way that God sees them. Wow. There's so much that we don't understand. There's so much that we don't get. And the thing is this is, when I looked at this, I mean, I've got loved ones that have passed away, and they did not know Christ. But I also know that they had a choice, and they chose not to. It wasn't because God's angry at them or mad, or he didn't want to redeem them. It's because they chose not to accept salvation. One of the first funerals I had to do as a young pastor was an uncle, my uncle on my dad's side. And he had had a stroke at work and collapsed at work, and he was 53 when he passed away. And I remember they asked me to come and do the funeral, so we went and did the funeral, and the funeral director said, look, not one family member will come in and identify the body, and we need to have somebody that knows him that can say, yes, this is who it is. And so my dad and I went in, because his younger brother. And so we went in, and he opened up the casket, and we're standing there looking at my uncle's name is Myrl. So Myrl Burles. I mean, they picked some great names up in Wisconsin, didn't they? Huh. Anyway. Could have been worse, I guess. Could have been worse. But anyway. So we're looking at my Uncle Myrl's body. And the funeral director's there, my dad and I, you know, he says, yep, dad goes, yep, that's my brother, that's him. And then they closed the casket, and the funeral director walked away. And I looked at dad, and I said, dad, you know, he wasn't serving Christ. He said, no, I know. I go, man, if he would have just taken that time to do it. And my dad looked at me, and he said, well, he had 53 years to decide, and he chose not to. And that has stayed with me all these years. You see, people are making their own choices and they're making their own decisions. And it's hard for us sometimes to understand that. But Jesus, you got to see things the way Jesus sees them. I've died on the cross for you. All you have to do is come to me and I will forgive you and I will redeem you. The choice is yours, or you can say no. We make the choice. All right, a couple more things in here. We'll close this up. The next part of verse 12 says this. He says, now I know in part. The term now here is this. This is the things prior to the return of Christ, because that's what he's been talking about, right? I mean, if you go back and read it, here's the things before Christ comes. And this will be what it's like when he's here. And so he says, so right now, before Christ returns, before Christ gets here, even Paul says, I only know in part. The term know here means divine things. He says divine things. He said, I went and looked this up. Paul is writing this 23 years after his conversion, roughly. So about 23 years has gone by. He has been saved for 23 years. The great apostle has gone around and done all the things that you read when you read the book of Acts. And he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, you want to know the truth? Even though I've been serving God for 23 years, and even though God has done this, 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 and this in my life, he says, I want to tell you something. I still only understand some things in part. Paul says, I don't get it all. So it's the knowledge of divine things. He says, I don't understand it all, but then I shall know just as I am. The term, then I shall know, and I know it sounds tricky when you're reading it. The phrase there, that couple words, I shall know, it means to be known thoroughly. It denotes a mental direction that someone can go, an application of divine thinking and divine things. He says, but then I shall know what? Just as I am known. And what is it to be known through Christ? To know through Christ. I'm going to close up with this. I'm going to read to you verse 12. Out of the Amplified Bible. Eric, would it take you a couple seconds to put verse 12 up on the Amplified, or can you do that somewhat quickly? If you would, it's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. And then we'll close in a word of prayer. There we go. This is out of the Amplified. You know, the Amplified will throw in the Greek words. Again, it's not a lexicon like what I use, obviously, but it gives you a clearer picture of what this is. Notice how it's written in the Greek here Amplified Bible. He says, for now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection. See, we want clarity, but Paul says you're not going to have it just because we're human and we don't understand a lot of things. Of reality, a blurred reality, look at that, a blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or an enigma. And I want to, again, how many things happen in our lives that it's a riddle? I mean, Lord, why God, why? When God, when? How God, how? I mean, we've all been there, okay? You know, we've all been there, right? So this is what he is saying. He says, it's an enigma, but then, when perfection comes, that's Christ. That's just what I just showed you in the Greek. Perfection is Christ on his return, okay? We shall see in reality and face to face. He says, now I know in part, imperfectly. We do. But then I shall know and understand fully, clearly. See what he's saying? When Christ comes, then I'll get the picture. Then the light will come on. Then my understanding will increase, and I'll get a better view of what has happened all this time. Even in the same manner as I am fully and clearly known, listen, and understood by God, I will understand him, and I will also understand how he sees me. You see, God's got it all figured out. The ones who don't get it isn't God. It's us. It's us. Because we want the answers. We want clarity. We want to know now. And Paul says, you know what? As many years as he served God, he goes, even I don't get it and understand it. Hallelujah. Would you please stand? Thank you, Eric. You know, maybe you're going through some stuff right now that, just like I said, there's not a clear picture. There's not a clear direction. You don't fully understand or comprehend stuff. Or maybe you're coming out of that, and this helps you understand that. But you got to remember, you will never see things the way that God sees them until we're with him. But we walk by faith, one day at a time, one step at a time. Will you make mistakes along the way? You bet. Everybody's used the word, if I knew then what I know now, I would never get over it, okay? You did it, and you made the decision, and here you are. But just one little quick note. Remember, we make decisions based on the current information we have at hand, right? We make decisions with the current information we have at hand. That's how you make them. If you could see into the future, you're right. You wouldn't make mistakes, but we do. But you weigh it all out and you look at it and say, you know what? I think this way is best. And you get into it 3 months, a year from now, and you go, maybe this wasn't such a hot idea. Don't blame yourself. Don't be mad at yourself. You didn't have that information when you made the decision. That's all. So maybe you're going through those things as well. So we're going to pray, and now, well, we'll pray first, and then we'll let you guys go, and I'm going to have you go back and shake Tom Lawson's hand, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now, God, help us understand, help us have a maturity, really, God, to trust you no matter what and have faith in you, because we do not see things the way that you see them. And you've got an eternal perspective, an eternal picture. You see our lives in a completely different perspective than how we view them. It's always earthly, it's always fleshly, it's always selfish. So, Father, I pray as we grow in Christ that we'll get a better understanding of these things and that you will give people insight from the Holy Spirit to help give them peace, that the directions that they need to go and where you want to take them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you leave, Lisa's husband, Tom Lawson,